popular figures of the 20th century. His record sales were in the hundreds of millions. His movies were blockbusters. A new biography focuses on Crosby's career in the 1940s, when the crooner's star shined the brightest. Tom Vitale has the story.
Bing Crosby was a singer first and foremost. His appeal started with his voice, says Gary Giddens, author of the new 700-page biography of the crooner called Swinging on a Star.
He had wonderful high notes. He had amazing low notes. He was like a cello when he was really in a good voice.
Hush, now don't you cry.
Early in the decade, Crosby created the template for the multimedia entertainment superstar. He was everywhere, and says Gary Giddens, audiences embraced Crosby as one of them.
He really does come across as somebody, even though he's smarter than you are and more talented than you are, as somebody that you really might know, that somebody might live down the block. That was one of the things he did on radio. He really gave the vernacular American voice back to Americans. At a time when the networks wanted these mid-Atlantic, you know, how now, brown cow kind of speakers.
Here's Crosby on the air with bandleader Spike Jonze in 1944.
Touché.
Oh, the kid makes with the French too, huh? Touché yet.
Absolument.
Absolument.
While you were over there, didn't you learn to parlez-vous français?
I have never been too sharp with a parley, Spike. But
despite his enormous fame, in public, Crosby was humble and self-effacing. In 1972, he told a British television interviewer that when he began acting in movies, producers tried to improve his looks.
They said my ears stuck out too far. Looked like a taxi with both doors open, you know. And so they got the makeup man to study it, and he glued them back. Of course, in those days, they used a lot more light when they were lighting a set than they do now. And it was very hot in a set, and that'd make the glue come loose, and they'd pop out.
Nevertheless, Crosby became a matinee idol. He won an Oscar for Best Actor in the 1944 film Going My Way.
What's your name?
Father O'Malley. Charles Francis Patrick O'Malley.
In the film, Crosby plays a parish priest in New York's Hell's Kitchen. He transforms a gang of street toughs into a boys' choir.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
In his 1942 film Holiday Inn, Crosby sings an Irving Berlin song, which remains the biggest selling record of all time.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know.
White Christmas struck a nerve with millions of Americans whose husbands, sons, and lovers were fighting on a distant continent and dreaming of spending the holidays at home. 3 years later, Crosby made a record about the end of the war.
One of his greatest recordings, I think, is about the end of this long separation between the armed forces and the people at home.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Bing insisted on doing it with a jazz quartet, Les Paul, and gives him a full chorus solo. It's a fantastic guitar solo. The recording is just perfection. You can't improve on perfection.
Crosby recorded between 50 and 70 records a year in the 1940s. During World War II, he hosted golf tournaments and gave benefit concerts to sell war bonds. And he recorded special programs for the Armed Forces Radio Network.
That's the old craft music hall, friends, bound around the world to wherever our soldiers are stationed. I say soldiers because the Army isn't overlooking a bet. Spread the news to you men that plenty of soldiers are wanted and are eligible to volunteer as paratroopers. It's a chance to join the outfit that hits the enemy first, where it hurts him the most.
Just months after the D-Day invasion, Crosby traveled to France to entertain the troops wherever they were.
The fact that he was within 1,000 yards of the fighting in France, a man who hated going to hospitals and was squeamish about those kinds of things, spent so many days in wards, seeing young boys that he had traveled with now with missing limbs. This gave him a mission. It turned him into a different kind of man.
Gary Giddens says Crosby's devotion was tireless, and the public loved him for it.
Nothing moved me more than when I was sitting in the Crosby house going through his letters and seeing how many parents, wives, siblings of dead soldiers felt they had to write to Crosby. How much my son or brother or husband loved you. How happy you made him when you went over there. Just want to say God bless you. Crosby was beloved.
In a 1948 poll, Americans declared Bing Crosby the most admired man alive. At the Crosby home, it was more complicated. But that's another story. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
I can't begin to tell you